Today, we sit back, catch up on life, and Valerie gives a pretty good review of Gone Home. All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello, and welcome to episode 21 of Trust Circle.
21.
We are now of alcohol drinking age. This is Trust Circle. I'm your host, Devin Valdivia, joining you once again. And by my, I almost said my right, but there's no one to my right. There's a computer by my right side, directly across from me.
I mean, I guess I'm to your right if you just continue the circle all the way around.
If I kept going around, Marcus is to my right. It's just a really big circle. The Trust Circle is really big.
Welcome to the Trust Paradox. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Devin.
Hi. And, spoiler alert, I already said it, but Top Shelf Gaming's editor-in-chief, co-founder, founder, stutter, crazy person, Marcus Garrett, also here.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
And so is his catchphrase.
I think it's kind of a sweet irony that the word stutterer is so hard to say.
It is super hard to say.
Stutterer.
So welcome to episode 21. We messed up.
We did.
We messed up.
Well, it was a special case because...
It was true.
Yeah.
So if you remember, listeners, way back... 11 episodes ago, episode 10.
Back in 20... I was going to say 15, definitely
nope.
16.
Grifting.
Haven't been doing it that long.
Yeah.
Way back in 2016, episode 10. We took a time out. We just took a break to just catch up. And our thought was to do that every 10 episodes, just to kind of gather, chill, recap, talk about just general life stuff. Focus a little less on the video game specific things, although that's going to come into play still. But last week, our podcast was invaded by guest... Evan, mayor of Zucchini. So we humored him. We talked about the Switch. He talked about Zelda a lot. I had to use our swear beep for the first
time. Because of his salty sailor mouth.
He has a lot of passion about Sonic.
He just has some words to say
salty
about it,
Sonic.
So to make up for it, we're still going to give you our check-in episode. We're just an episode late, so we'll be back episode 30. For our next check-in, but...
We give the people what they want here on Trust Circle.
We know that what you want is to hear us ramble about ourselves for an hour. So here we go. Let's just do it. How you guys doing?
Okay.
Great way to start the show.
And be authentic.
Be authentic. Be authentic.
Oof, I feel like I'm back at... Dang it. I was going to say... College inauguration. That's not the right word.
Not everything is inauguration. It just feels like it is.
But it's still relevant.
It's like a bad dream that just keeps on going.
What is the word?
Orientation.
Orientation.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
I have the hardest time specifically remembering that word. Whenever I remember orientation and talk about it, I will find ways to like avoid saying that phrase because I can't remember what it is.
You just have to remember OA.
Well, so I remember OA, but I don't know what does the O stand for.
Oculus assistant. Ovaries.
Yeah. Ovaries assistant.
The ovary assistant.
Because what I've always wondered is if the, like, oriental has the same root as orientation.
Completely off-the-cuff answer. The orient.
Because they orient you.
It's probably named something, like, navigation-wise, like.
Because people used to navigate to the Orient.
Yeah, like Orient, like Orient, stuff to the Orient, East, something, I don't know, East, West. I would assume there is some connection. Maybe there's not. But we'll say there is. And that's our Trust Circle promise.
Yes. I guess we don't need one. Never mind.
Word of the week. You're going to mention my word of the week.
We don't need one.
How about
my interrupty word?
Yeah, interrupting word. Wait, we gotta play the jingle.
What's that phrase? What's it mean? It's time for the word of the week. My interrupting word is...
Moo.
No. It will be...
Well, actually.
No, it'll be no. No. That's no. My word. No.
Anytime you say no?
Yeah. But I'll say it loudly.
Oh, no.
It's gotta be a passionate no.
Yeah. It'll be no exclamation point. No. Like that. Not no.
Or, if you're doing it in Spanish, no.
No. Upside down exclamation point. No. Exclamation point.
Yeah.
This is true. These are words. It's been a really boring month. Nothing exciting or important has happened.
I got engaged.
Nice. Who's the lucky taco?
The Naked Chicken Chalupa. We get married on Thursday.
I plan to.
So soon.
It's so soon.
So Friday, before our D&D Valerie, we're going to Taco Bell.
Mm.
It's a date. It's a D&D date.
Have you seen this thing, Valerie?
I think I described it to you. Because last week we went searching for it. I didn't know if it was out yet.
You described it to me, but it did not make it any clearer in my mind what it was.
All right, well, I'm going to pull it up.
The chicken is the shell. The shell is the chicken.
Welcome to Trust Circle Paradox Part 2.
The chicken is the shell. The shell is the chicken.
Is it just... It's like a Mobius strip of chicken?
It's a... It's chicken taco. It's that. Oh, yeah.
There are sensor dots because it's
but the chicken is explicitly not naked because it's deep fried, right? It's covered in deep fried batter.
If you saw a man who was naked except for being deep fried in batter, would you still consider him naked?
No, I'd consider him dead.
She has a point.
She has a point.
It's a very good point. I want one of these so bad.
So have you sampled it or had any
indication
of it?
No, I haven't. So, like, everyone... On my team, I work at Taco Bell headquarters for those of you who don't know. So, like, everyone on my team has tried it, but I haven't tried it. It's like me and this one other person on my team, we are the only ones who haven't tried it. And everyone's saying, like, this is the best thing on Taco Bell's menu.
That's not true, because like the Double Decker Taco Supreme.
You haven't tried this yet. And neither have I. But going off of personal accounts, like, I'm so excited to try this.
I want to stuff this inside of a Double Decker Taco.
You should. Like,
that's my life goal.
You should.
So who would I write? Just total, you know, I need to get this out of my chest. I need to get it out of my chest. Just rip it out. Who do I write at Taco Bell
alien style
to proclaim my love for the Double Decker Taco, because that thing is one of my favorite foods, period.
Tweet at us.
Love.
Tweet at Taco Bell. I
mean. The Double Decker Taco.
Tweet at Taco Bell. They can, and I can also tell you how to get some free Taco Bell, but it involves being a jerk.
Oh, I got to complain?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, we were just talking about this, I think, Valerie, weren't we?
Norby?
Maybe. Am
talking
I
about
you?
Complaining?
I talk about the idea of, like...
That's what married couples do.
Yeah, that's all we do. We don't get free stuff.
Yeah, there's nothing free in it. Just free dirty
looks. Maybe
it was
someone else. I was talking to somebody about this, like, how weird it is that when you complain to a company, they give you more of their company.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you don't like us? Here, have some more.
Have
like,
some more of us.
Yes and no.
No, I understand. It's to win back their loyalty and say, like, hey, we appreciate...
Or it's people to... I mean, we get this a lot of times, too, at my workplace. We have an anything-goes return policy. Mm-hmm. So people can return an empty bottle of vodka and say, I didn't like it, and then get, you know, a credit for $30.
Wow.
Because it's no nonsense, but then we have to...
Oh, that's all nonsense. Let's be real. That is
how often
all the
do
nonsense.
Things like that happen?
The really bad nonsense, that only happens like maybe like, you know, once a month.
Yeah. I feel like people are like, you give people that power and people are pretty good about it. I mean, there's always going to be someone, but I think in general there's
Hashtag hack the system.
I'm hacking the system.
We get some counterfeit $100 bills a lot of times.
Yeah,
too.
You come back like at like an abnormally high like frequency.
I mean,
maybe
it's just because it's a retail, and this is the first time I've really worked retail, so maybe counterfeitery is, you know, common. But before this job, I was like, people don't counterfeit. That's a movie. It's funny how often it happens. Yeah.
I mean, do they catch it in the moment, or do they?
Most often, they catch it in the moment because they tell people that like. I mean, I'm not sure how much I should be talking about this, but I guess it's okay. Like, if you're, you know, you're checking out the check stand.
For instance.
And somebody, like, most often, you can smell a rat when somebody comes up with a $100 bill, and then maybe they buy, like, you know, a one thing. They buy, like, an apple, and they're like, I want change. And you're because then they can cash their fake $100 bill.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've seen some pretty bad counterfeits
Like, you can see, like, the inkjet dots on it, like, yeah. really bad.
This is just colored pencil.
This says, I owe you. This is a piece of scrap of paper. Uh-huh. What is this?
Someone drags in, like, a fundraising check.
Yeah.
Like, I like to cash this in. I heard a story. Someone's telling me. I feel like I'm, like, making stuff up. Someone told me this one time.
I read an article.
No, someone I was talking to in person recently, I don't know who that would have been, but they were mentioning someone that they knew had tried to cash one of those checks you get in the mail mm-hmm. for like, you know, like, oh, this could be yours.
Yeah.
And the bank cashed it.
How much did it say on it?
It was like $100 or something.
That's a...
Yeah. They then realized their mistake and it was a huge process like undoing it, but initially like they just gave the money.
Wow.
It was, I think they did it through the automated system. Okay. Like the, I think maybe like the take your picture of the yeah. check. That always freaks me out.
I've never done that.
I've done that once, and it felt like I was breaking the law, mm-hmm. even though it explicitly said like, no, it's cool, you can do this. Like, mm-hmm. it feels like it shouldn't be allowed.
Mm-hmm. I've done it a couple times. Yeah, when I was living in LA, I did it because there wasn't like my bank was like never close, mm-hmm. and like so I was just like. Well, I'm doing it here, mm-hmm. and it was cool that it actually worked.
Yeah,
I was like, but yeah, it's that weird feeling of like, where is this going to? Like, yeah. like it's just a photograph, so like, mm-hmm. I could just submit. I don't know. Like, it seems easy.
It's easy one of those things. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, all three of us have graphic design experience. Mm-hmm. It's like. If I were to be a bad person and like game this, like how far could I take this? Because yeah. I could fake a pretty convincing check. Yeah. Like it's not that hard. Mm-hmm. And like you know, like just the different forms and things. Like it, these examples, like oh my gosh, like because people I have learned are pretty bad at picking out Photoshop like jobs.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
People think they're good because you know you see like magazine things or whatever, like really mm-hmm. fake memes. Like people are like oh I can tell it's Photoshop. No, you don't understand. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you realize that, like, every shot in a movie has some amount of CG in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like see that. It. Then, yeah, the wall has been removed from your eyes.
Yeah.
Everything's a lie.
Everything I know is a lie.
Or once you realize that an actor's wearing a wig, then you're like, ugh.
Or when you realize your president is. Sorry. I'm sorry.
That's the problem is it's not a wig. It's his real hair.
It is.
It's his real hair?
It's his real hair.
At well, some...
There's a picture of him. It's on one of those sets of pictures that he's explicitly once? Stated that he doesn't want the media to use of him.
Yo,
there's
yeah.
like a list of like, you know, 2 dozen pictures.
Yeah,
I and saw it shows this. The wind is picking up his
yeah,
hair.
Yeah, I saw that.
And like lifting it up. So it stands like... about 6 inches above his head.
Oh, it's, man. It's kind of impressive.
But there's like hair, like it doesn't have to be like a wig. I know, but like there's also I know he had like hair surgery.
Oh, he had like that doll hair surgery.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, that's the least of my concerns.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned with his hair.
Yeah, I'm not concerned with the hair. There are more. I'm concerned, but
I'm not saying I am. Yeah. I'm just ragging on it.
You're just a rat. Rogaine on?
Rogaine on
it? I was trying.
Marcus, I would have got it if Marcus didn't volley that back to me.
Just jump in there. Boop. What were we talking about before this?
Taco Bell.
And then nope. Counterfeit money.
Double-decker
taco, fake tacos, fake money.
Fake money.
You want to know who to talk to?
Taco to.
Taco. Nope, I hate that joke so much. You don't understand how often I hear that. At work.
And everyone thinks they're like the first person to say it.
Everyone knows that they're not, mm-hmm. but they make that joke anyway.
They're thinking that there's an infinite supply of, hey, I know this is dumb, but I'm going to say it anyway. And then we both know it's dumb, so we'll both laugh. But there is not an infinite supply
not.
Amount of that
was,
in the world.
I was over it the first time. And so I came up with a couple of my own.
Really?
Like, you know... Spare me the gore details. And I have others, but it's not really a pun as much as it's the inflection.
To have an enchilada of them?
Oh my gosh.
To guess.
Thanks, wife. Thanks for the support.
Thanks for ruining words. Words used to be fun for me, Devin.
Not anymore. Well, if only life were as easy as getting free tacos.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of free tacos, though, there's 4th Street Market. There's a new place opening up, and they're giving away free tacos.
Hey, Marcus, look at my face. Does it look like I care?
I can't tell.
I don't want to... Okay, I need to couch this comment, because I appreciate that 4th Street Market is a collection of local people selling their food, even though it's actually just one company. But I gotta say...
Well, it's not so one company as much as one...
it's one, like, over...
One...
It's like one
supervising dude.
Yeah.
It's or like at least that was how it started.
A singular project. Whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. What I do know...
I don't think the food's super great.
Let me rephrase this. It has never been as good as I, not even expect it, like, as I think it should be, even yes. given some certain caveats.
Yes.
Like, it's not bad. The food is not bad, except for...
It's totally fine.
There's one thing Valor and I had that was just, we didn't finish. We bought and kind of just did away. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to, like, throw shade on somebody who's trying to make money. But we did get one thing somewhere as, like, a fun treat that ended up not being a fun treat.
The one thing that I've had there that was, like, super, super good, and the only thing I would really go back for, is the pork belly fries at this one place.
I have almost gotten those a few times.
Those are really good. But there's a few places there that have pork belly fries.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the
one... You gotta find the right one.
Yeah, so it's like the one that has the pig logo.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing that... It's not just 4th Street Market, it's also like food truck stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like all food trucks are really just the same truck. It's all just like the same food. There's like a few different genres.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime I eat from a food truck, with a few exceptions, like, it just says like, oh, this is just a food truck food thing.
Well, that's because it means people have tapped into what people like to buy from food trucks and have, you know, just distilled that into be the most successful permutation.
Sure.
That's, like, how people say, like, all pop music sounds the same, and it's, like, it's because pop music has gotten really good at making one sound that people enjoy listening to.
I mean, I guess.
Money.
Like, but I just don't, like, it makes me wonder, like, why there has to be, like, so many of them that are saying we're different. Like, if you're not different.
Because in their opinion, they probably are.
Everything is super different.
Yeah.
They're all, like, quirky. They're all just, like, quirky ideas, and you're like, oh, mm-hmm. this is... fun novelty and like overpriced and it's,
oh, fun.
And it's not I think what people like about food trucks is saying that they went to a food truck.
It's because you're a jaded Probably. Hipster, Devin. They want trendy Instagram ready hipsters to go there and take pictures.
I'm post hipster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are. That's see that's and now they're not marketing you.
To
so that's
food
the
truck credit though. The last food truck I went to LACMA,
mm-hmm.
and I got like a jalapeno burger.
Yeah,
it was very good.
Ooh,
it was very good, and it was like a full size, like tasty burger.
Because food trucks historically have tiny portions.
Yes.
Like I paid twice as much as
$9.
Yes. Yeah, I paid twice as much for like
half as much,
60% of the food, maybe if that.
Yeah,
yeah. No, this was like a good burger, and it was tasty. It was flavorful. Like I was kind of shocked.
See, for me, food, like, I make a really big distinction between taco trucks and food trucks.
Yes.
Yeah, they're different animals.
Because, like, taco trucks
yeah,
are amazing.
Uh-huh.
That's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Chef?
No.
I think it's on Netflix, if it still is.
I think, yeah, it was, for sure.
That's different from Cooked, right?
Yeah, and Chef is this movie with Jon Favreau, who... He's like a failed restaurateur, so he buys a food truck, and he and his kid go around the southern half of the United States.
I like John Favreau.
It's silly.
That sounds
fun.
It's
fun.
Yeah.
And it's got like some really good food porn shots.
I like
things sizzling.
I like movies like road trip movies mm-hmm. where like you don't know, like there's no story really, or mm-hmm. or like there's no like destination. It's just like people just going, mm-hmm. and
yeah,
it's really about the journey. There's another good Netflix movie. What's it called? Well, it has mm-hmm. Selena Gomez. It has Bradley Cooper.
That was too bad.
No, not Bradley Cooper. Ant-Man.
Paul Rudd.
Oh, Paul Rudd. Yeah. And then some unknown actor.
Yeah.
Who's like paralyzed from the waist down.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's never left his house.
Yeah.
And then he's the caretaker.
Yeah.
Or Paul Rudd is the caretaker. And then they, yeah, so it's
the
called...
The Fundamentals of Caring.
The Fundamentals of Caring.
Uh-huh.
And that one's really fun, too.
Nice.
Speaking of interesting movies that have a plot but sort of not, Valerie and I went to go see 20th Century Women over the weekend.
What prompted us was, since it was being, I think, in wide release this weekend, it was kind of released, like, indie style in 2016, but now it's, like, coming out to all the major theaters. Part of the proceeds of ticket sales were going to Planned Parenthood because it was the weekend of the Women's March, so we were like, let's go see it.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. It was really good.
I'm not sure what it's about. Can you fill me in?
It's very... I heard someone describe it as a cinematic mixtape, which is very interesting because it starts out in the year 1979, but then it constantly bounces back and forth in like various characters' lives via narration.
Yeah.
Showing like where they come from or where they'll end up eventually. Like it kind of like implants itself in the 20th century by constantly reinforcing like when these characters were born and like what kind of socio-political circumstances they were born into and why that's why they are and stuff like that. So it's very interesting. And the acting's really good.
Heard one of the Fanning sisters is in it.
Yeah, Fanning the Younger. Elle Fanning's in it.
I don't even know who she is.
She's in Super 8. She was like a babby in that movie.
Okay.
She was in like Maleficent.
Then I saw Super 8, but not Maleficent.
Yeah. She's all over the place now.
She's just doing stuff.
Popularity, yeah.
Doing acting.
Yeah.
Acting it up. I saw... with my family. So my sister's weird, right?
Yeah.
She like doesn't want to, like she doesn't like animated movies and I love them. And like, I thought that would be one thing that we would be able to bond over.
Yeah.
And she just like, she'll watch them, but like she doesn't like them. And I'm like, you're 12. Like you have to love this, you know? But what she really loves is like action movies and like scary movies. And so she texted me Thursday and was like, hey, do you want to see Split?
I want to see Split.
And I was like, no. But then I ended up taking her and my mom to go see Split.
Really?
Yeah.
How was Split?
That's pretty good. Like, surprise.
Because I've heard it's M. Night Shyamalan actually being good again.
Yeah, it's... I would recommend it. And I thought I would never say that about another M. Night Shyamalan film, so...
Did you see Unbreakable?
No, I just remember the box art for it. I have very vivid memories of that box art.
I liked Unbreakable.
Was that a Shyamalan movie?
Yeah.
It was early Shyamalan, like Bruce Willis.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Samuel Jackson. Fun fact, did you know that the L in Samuel L. Jackson's name doesn't mean anything?
It's just L?
It's just added for, like, mystique.
Oh. Oh, good old Sam.
Good old Sam. Yeah. So what else have you been up to, Valerie?
What else have I been up to? I don't know. What have I been doing? I've been reading a lot.
What have you been reading?
I finished this book called Diary of an Ugly Stepsister.
Yeah, I
the one that you saw on the table.
I saw that. It was
really good.
I was really curious about it.
It's from the perspective of one of the aforementioned ugly stepsisters, but
from Cinderella.
But it's interesting in that it's written very kind of like historically, and like none of the quote unquote fantasy stuff from that fairy tale like actually happened literally. It's all just kind of like figurative in a way.
Yeah.
But then it's just really good at like sympathizing everything for everyone. Like nobody in that book is entirely good and no one's entirely bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, oh, this character is good because she's like pretty. It's not like being pretty equals being a good person. So that was neat.
That's cool. I mean, looking at its size,
mm-hmm.
and looking at the cover, like I can't tell if it's like it's a novel. It looks like it could be like a Harry Potter age book.
And it reads like historical fiction.
Okay.
But it's good if you like descriptions of stuff. Like if you like adjectives, then you'll like that. And
this
I do.
Was the glassiest slipper.
Mm, yeah.
It was made of glass. It had so much glass. The glass was huge.
And it was written by the guy who wrote Wicked, right?
Yeah, and I didn't even know he wrote Wicked until I read on the book flap that it was by the guy who wrote Wicked.
So this guy just likes to, like retell classic
stories. That is
stories.
Totally his thing. He's also written a Snow White version of this.
Oh.
And he's written, like, a Tooth Fairy book like that.
So, like, that's just totally...
It's like his jam.
Yeah.
Well... Right now I got an audiobook of one where he did this with Alice in Wonderland.
Really?
It's his, yeah. That one's...
That one's... Because, like, that one's already so weird.
Yeah.
That it's like, what's your take on it? Is, like, making it normal?
It's already such a looniverse that it's kind of, like...
Yeah.
It's a little bit less grounded.
Looniverse.
But, yeah.
I like that.
And then we started reading... And by we, I mean Div and I intend to both read it. But I started it last night. Mm-hmm. This book called The Voyeur's Motel. Which is crazy.
Wait, why does that sound familiar?
It was Jazz talked about it when she was here.
Oh, yes.
It's about this dude who owns a motel, but then in the ceilings, he installed these specialized grates that he designed that they look just kind of like vents.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the dude can look at them from above, he can see into people's rooms because it's very like... wiggly, and you're not totally sure how to feel because obviously this is wrong, but then he also like this guy kind of thinks of himself as like a researcher,
yeah,
and so he takes like extensive notes of everything he sees, so you're like I'm conflicted. But it's a really interesting read.
Wait, yeah. Is this nonfiction?
Nonfiction, yeah.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's even yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, why would there be conflict if this is just a fiction?
Yeah.
But if it's nonfiction, yeah. That's super interesting.
You also played through a video game this week.
Oh, yeah. We did.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a big week, Devan.
Things have been going on.
Things have been going on. We played through Gone Home.
Tell me about that.
It was good.
Tell me more about that.
I'm getting there.
Do you have opinions about it?
I do, but I would like to hear from Valerie since she's the one who doesn't play video games a lot and she like sat... and enjoyed the entirety of a video game.
Mm.
It was a diary worthy moment.
Did you touch controller at all? Did you attempt to?
No, I backseat video gamed because I was working on crafts while we played together. But I mean, it was really nice. The atmospheric and pleasant in a way that some other video games aren't, in an attempt to keep, you know, the energy of the setting going. A lot of times, like whether it's via music or like really frenetic visuals.
What's Gone Home?
Oh.
Pretend your mom's here. Tell her what Gone Home is.
I was about to say mom's home. I was like, that's not the game.
Say it in Spanish, too.
Her mom doesn't understand Spanish.
Neither do you.
All right? True.
But this is a buy.
I understand it mostly.
Either la casa. Maybe? I don't know.
English.
Vaya? Vaya la casa?
Fuiste a casa.
No.
That's you went home.
Visita.
Let's see. It's, so you see this from the point of view of this girl named Caitlin, who's coming home after, like, you know, studying abroad or gallivanting around Europe.
Gallivanting.
And
she was just gone.
And in the time that you've been gone, your parents have inherited this big ol' spooky house. It's known throughout the neighborhood as, like, the Psycho House. So your parents and your younger sister live there. And your parents are gone, your sister's gone, so you find an empty house. And you have to figure out the story by leafing through the notes and debris and stuff. And by going methodically through the rooms, you kind of piece together the story.
That sounds boring. Why did you enjoy it so much?
Because I like snooping. And this game is all about snooping. Because I think like anytime I visit someone's house, it's always like so interesting to look at like the room, which is creepy. So that's why it's like you don't get the chance often.
Boyer's
Motel. Yeah. But it's easy. Like you gain such an accurate picture of what, you know, someone is like by seeing the contents of their room, because it's not like you're, unless you're cleaning up for guests, you know, that is unadulterated.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I mean, I like it when video games represent, like, what's the word? When they represent, like, spontaneous ephemera or junk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when, like, there's, like, say you're walking through the house and then, you know, you have your avatar pick up a piece of paper on a table and it's, like, a crumpled up note. And then you uncrumple it, but then the piece of paper still shows, like, crumple marks and it's got, like, a handwritten note on it.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Or you find, like, a ticket stub.
Mm-hmm.
Or you find, like, an old banana or whatever. Like, I like stuff that shows human...
That, like, someone's,
human,
like,
wear and tear, in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, we have the ability to make everything look perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And real life is not perfect. Mm-hmm. So displaying, like, humanity through, like, imperfections, you know. Yeah. That is pretty cool.
What did you think of the story and how it was told through that process of you coming home to a house that you don't know, but it's where your family's been living while you've been gone? And, like, how did you, like, as a concept for a video game, you know, it seems like you like, because it gave you an opportunity to snoop, but through that you're uncovering a couple of different stories as you go through the house. How did that kind of play out for you, as far as, like, you're somewhat open to explore as you choose, but there are, to all these, like, story threads, there are kind of beginning, middles, and ends to them. How did you feel about how, like, that was presented and how it how effective was it?
I mean, I think there's a positive relationship between the amount of effort you're willing to go through the video game, like I said, methodically, and the depth of story that you can uncover through that. Because we kind of set out to, like, we're like, we're gonna, anything that we can pick up and move, anything that we can read, any drawer that we can open, we're gonna do it. We're gonna open them all.
Yeah.
And then, like, in order to not let any scrap of story go unnoticed. So I think it did build a nice complete picture of the younger sister's motivations, which are really like the driving force of the story. It's, you start out early in the story, it like your sister's gone unexpectedly.
Potential spoilers here, I guess, but
potential
this game
spoilers.
Is like 3 years
so
old.
No.
If you haven't played it, just stop and go play it.
Which some of our audience probably hasn't played it.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't played it, like, literally stop this podcast and don't come back until you've played it.
Or just watch it.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those... See, yes and no. You'll get the story from watching it, but I think because this game is so much about exploration... And for me, the best part of this game was that act of coming home and fiddling through your family stuff. Because your family stuff feels familiar, but the context is alien because it's a new house that you've never been to.
Yeah.
When I was telling Valerie as we were playing it, like, that happened to me while I was in college. My
happened
parents.
To me, too. My parents moved while I was in college.
And it probably happens to a lot of college students, because, you know, parents want to downsize their house if they're the last kid out of the room, and then, you know, they don't need to have the nest. So that idea of you kind of coming home to this unfamiliar space full of somewhat familiar items, but there's this history and this time that you've missed, like, that's literally been a part of my life. And I remember going through my home after I'd come from college and being like, oh, like, here's that table that used to be, you know, in this one room at our old house, and like, now it's all full of this stuff. Like, what's going on? What have I missed? So that's something I don't think you could really get by just watching it.
Yeah. But definitely, if you have the means to play it. But yeah. I've actually never played it.
It was on. You should have it free. It was a PS Plus game a while back.
I have it. Yeah.
You should give it a go.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like, you can watch it and get a lot of.
It's still really good, even if you watch it. That's how I first saw it. Because when it came out, I didn't have any means of playing it, so that's the only way I was.
Yeah.
I was able.
It was the first game I played on my new MacBook. Because I finally got a new MacBook that I could actually play some games. And it was like, oh, awesome! And then I got home. But Val, you were talking about the story and how it was unfolding, what you thought about the narrative structure.
I thought, since the story is based on why your younger sister decided to do what she did, which is run away from home with her, as you find out, girlfriend, and how her parents, like, are not accepting of that, finding out these clues from the point of view of the sister, because her narration comes on, like, as you reach certain checkpoints, and as you reach, like, read her notes and her correspondence and stuff, then it builds a very, like, sympathetic and complete picture that way.
Sister's name is Sam?
Sam, okay. Yeah.
Sam Greenbrier. And so, Valerie, I feel like this game could not, like, be about you, but, like, I feel like the age ranges are kind of similar to you and your younger sister. I am the youngest child, but, like, did that have any, like, added significance to you kind of being the older sister with a sister of, like, sort of that same age gap and, you know, her wild and ruckus ways? Hi, Jenny.
Always going to China.
Always going off to China.
Yeah, I guess it's in that, like, you're like, no, you're not old enough to do that. Like, you know, like, you don't know what you're doing. But then you're like, well, I guess they do. Like, you know, we all were that age once, and we felt like we had just as much agency and opinions as we do now.
Agency.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't think about that so much during the gameplay, but mostly because it's just, you're balancing, mostly because you're just, during the whole game, you're holding Sam's perspective in your mind the whole time.
Yeah.
Because that's what gets pieced together bit by bit.
Yeah. Well, I was very happy that we played it. It's been on my list of things to do with you for a while. And we just never got around to it, but we knocked it out in, like, 2 nights. So that's the second game you've completed, also counting Inside, which was...
Are we going to count Overwatch? Because I feel like
you don't really beat Overwatch.
You don't beat it, but I feel like Valerie knows it really, really well.
How do you feel? You have, like, a grasp of, like, the strategy of Overwatch? Like,
I know absolutely nothing about the strategy, nor do I wish to.
Okay, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
So she knows about Overwatch, but it's different than playing.
Yeah.
Because when you're quote-unquote watching them, you're just looking at the colors and the characters.
Yeah, pretty much. My least favorite part of Overwatch is when you actually play.
But to that end, I was trying to think of a list of other games that we could play that were similar to Gone Home. So we started the very beginning parts of Firewatch last night, which is a similar-ish game.
Quote-unquote walking simulator.
Quote-unquote walking simulators. There's also The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, which is more of, like, a mystery game, but I've had that downloaded for a while. And then there's Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, which I've also had, and I've played through, I think, about half of it.
I recommend Life is Strange.
We've played through,
I think, the first episode of Life is Strange.
First episode together.
Yeah. We started playing that on 360, but then I rebought it on a sale for PS4.
I think that one's fun because that one, like, especially together, it's like you can choose, well, do we want to make this choice or do we want to make that choice, you know?
And choosing is stressful.
It is. And, I mean, have you played through
it all? I haven't played through all of it. I think I've played through episode 3, but then stopped, and then we'll just keep trucking here.
Because there's just some, like, decisions that, like, there's just some things that you can't that you can't rewind time for, and like, good luck. Yeah. But anyway, as you're saying,
so I mean, Life is Strange is definitely one of those games where I think it captures that same sort of nostalgia as Gone Home does.
Yeah,
you know, you're walking through classrooms and you're walking through. Just like home, I think it gives a really good sense of that lived-in space.
Yeah,
like Gone Home, probably even more so than Gone Home.
It's more like I guess set decorated than Gone Home is.
Yeah,
you know? Gone Home, there are lots of items, and there is like detail to it, but it doesn't feel as lived in. It's more of a like graphically, it's a more basic game visually. Gone Home kind of gives things another like another layer of I guess like grunge and life.
Yeah.
But similar in that aspect. There's also a game that you mentioned, Valerie, which was Dear Esther.
Dear Esther? I have that game.
So that was the second game I played on my Mac.
Okay.
And that is probably the quintessential walking simulator in my mind, in that there is pretty much nothing you do in that game other than follow a set path through an environment. Because of that, it's a very pretty game.
Yeah,
because it just has, you know, all the graphics, because you're on this one one track, and the story is kind of just metered out as you hit certain points in the path. That's a game you can do in one sitting. It's interesting. It's very artsy.
Yeah.
And then there are like the spooky types of games that are like this.
Spooky
things like
spooky
Soma
games,
which Sombra. Is Sombra. Soma is actually on sale. I actually wanted to talk to you about possibly adding that to our list of games. I haven't played this one, but as I understand it, you're on an underwater sort of like base research facility, something or other, and you're exploring things. And there are like monsters and enemies. It was made by the developers who made Amnesia.
Yeah. So never playing that game.
Yeah. But it's apparently less like a horror spooky survival game. It is more narrative driven.
Still not.
Did you get spooked?
I can't play scary games.
So I've had Alien Isolation. I've bought it twice on Xbox and PlayStation.
Yeah.
And I stopped playing at the same point because I got too scared.
You showed me part of that. I didn't think that was that scary.
It's not the same when you're not playing it.
Yeah.
If you're not playing it, it's
I
a
can watch
experience.
It fine.
Yeah.
But if like you're playing it, like I love horror movies. I love them. Scary games? No freaking way. Like I you put that controller in my hand and I'll throw it right back at your face and jump out the window.
So what I'm hearing is we need to find a way for us to play Resident Evil 7 in VR.
No! No, sir.
That sounds like
a hard limit.
That sounds like some top shelf gaming content right there.
Play Emily Seriously. Wants to play.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, there's this game on PSN. It was called Emily Wants to Play, and it looks like my first Unity project.
Yeah.
Baby's Boy, it looks very special. But yes, speaking of horror exploration games, Resident Evil 7 came out, I guess, by the time you're listening to this, yesterday. I don't have a lot of history with Resident Evil. Do you, Marcus?
I do. That was my neighbor, my childhood best friend, one of them. We always played video games. He had the Resident Evil games. I always watched him. I never played it. But I always watched him. And it was back in that time of our lives where, like, when you had a video game, you just played it over and over.
Yeah.
And like, so I'm really intimately acquainted with the original Resident Evil games, and then I've just seen it over the years. I never beat 4, but mm-hmm. I got like halfway through it.
Yeah, 4 is the only game I've played in the series to like any real extent. I've probably played about four or five hours into it.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it's, and then you know, it's a series that, like, as it's gone on, has gotten mm-hmm. like less about horror and more mm-hmm. about like being an action movie,
much mm-hmm. like the movies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, and so this newest one, it's like that return to horror, which
yeah,
is cool.
Yeah, you're just a boy in a spooky house,
mm-hmm.
a spooky like southern house.
Yeah,
like you're in a Louisiana mansion. I played the demo when it came out, not the VR one.
I couldn't do it.
I played the demo.
I couldn't do it.
Is it spooky?
It's pretty spooky.
Can we play it?
We can play the demo. I can download it.
I'll watch you play it.
Okay. Well, how about this? Valerie, you and I play the demo.
Okay.
And we can see if maybe you actually want to play the game.
Okay.
If you want to play the game, we'll play the game and we can report back on our progress as we go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not like opposed to playing it. I don't have like a ton of interest in playing it, but I'll grasp at any straws you want if you're gonna play games with me.
That demo, I walked out of the first hallway and I was like, nope, and I like shut off my
like... See, I really liked, we only watched a video of this, is that Silent Hill game that mm-hmm. you're in the spooky house mm-hmm. and there's like that sink baby. I like that one.
Oh,
that one...
PT.
This has yeah. that same vibe to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Same vibe. Man, I really wish I had a Oh, no, I guess you couldn't have re-downloaded it. I didn't. There was no way I could have gotten it then.
I never downloaded yep. it. And, I mean, obviously, I wasn't going to, but yeah. just for history's sake, I should have yeah. downloaded it.
Oh, Konami. Yeah. So Resident Evil is kind of... It's marking the return to video games.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of had, like, a month of just nothing, of barren waste, but we've got some good stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Switch comes out. And then we lose Marcus. He'll just be in Switchland.
I think I'm in this weird place mentally right now, where like I'm just not really playing video games because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to play anything that's not Switch right now.
Yeah, no, I get that. You're in like the peak of anticipation mode, like nothing else matters but the game that's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so what is, other than Zelda, from the Switch as a system, what is the one thing you are hoping for the Switch as a platform? Like the thing that you hope the Switch gets done?
I don't... Do you have an example? Or like is there something you want to see and I can maybe jump off of that?
So for me, I want the Switch to find that special Nintendo thing again. And like not counting the games. Because like the Wii U had good Nintendo games, but I don't think it ever found, like the Wii U itself never really hit, like tapped into like that secret Nintendo sauce. That sounds really weird, but I'm just going to go with it. Like the way the Wii did. The Wii was very much its own thing and it was confident in that. The Wii U was never confident in what it is. It always felt like it was like hiding itself. It felt self-conscious. And so I want the Switch to not chase after Sony and Microsoft. I want to not try to keep up with them. I want to just go off in its own direction. Be like, this is what we are right now. This is what Nintendo does. It is an entirely separate experience than what you're going to get. Because if they try to compete with Sony and Microsoft, like, they're gonna lose that fight.
Yeah.
You know, they can have all the best Nintendo games, but, like, it's just... they're going to lose that fight. It's why, like, the Wii U lost that fight. Because it tried to hang. And, like, it never had a chance. And so I think that's the one thing I want. I want the Switch to be its own thing. And I want to see Nintendo lean into that and encourage developers to lean into that as well.
Yeah.
I want games like Boom Blocks again. Third-party games for Nintendo systems that could only happen on the Switch.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I don't want ports. I do not want more ports. We're going to get a ton of them. I don't want them.
All right. I mean, I don't know. I think for me, maybe just like some fun local multiplayer. Just I was thinking of like, imagine if they just made like Pokemon Stadium 3.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the mini games. Mm-hmm. and they had battling. Mm-hmm. And with like Amiibo,
mm-hmm.
you could scan in your Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
Because that's not a lot of data.
Just start shoving NFC on all the Pokemon cards.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't even think it like has to be cards.
No,
but
what are we talking about?
Nerd stuff.
So, NFC, near field communication. Do you know what Amiibos are?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll explain them.
It's for Griffin's Nest.
I've seen Griffin's Amiibo Corner.
Yeah.
So I know that much.
For the sake of the listeners who might not know, Amiibo is this toy line from Nintendo's,
mm-hmm.
from with all these video game characters, and like, yeah. and like you can scan the figures into your actual video games,
okay.
and then they respond differently, or like they modify the games
uh-huh.
in certain ways. And I was thinking if like you had a Pokemon game, and you could store your Pokemon on an Amiibo, and then just if you're playing with a friend,
mm-hmm.
like you could just scan just, in.
Here's my Pokedex.
Yep. Boop. And just like hop it in, and then you two are like fighting on the TV or something, like the way that you used to do in Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah.
With your Game Boys,
mm-hmm.
you would like connect your Game Boy to the N64,
mm-hmm.
and then you could be playing with your Pokemon on your TV, and that was such a cool thing. And I mean, that's just an example, but like stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, that kind of cleaves with what I want too, because that's a thing that no one else is doing. You know, Sony's not using the Vita for any of that. Like, Sony has kind of set the Vita out to die. you know, Nintendo, like, they have so much potential
yes.
to just be weird, to be unique, be the company that put out Hey You Pikachu and released a terrible microphone peripheral to snap on your controller. Like, it was a really good idea. It kind of worked.
It kind of worked.
But it was a really good idea. And they went for it, and like they leaned into that.
You just want to see them go for it.
I want them to be the Nintendo I remember.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's cool.
I am excited to have the Switch exist. I'm still disappointed with everything, but I'm excited to see what it is. But I guess we will see.
Yeah, I'll be there March 3rd.
You will. You'll be.
So I'll be in heaven. I'm gonna be on cloud 9.
So you're gonna bring that over, and we're gonna have to
yeah.
run that through some paces.
Mm-hmm.
No, I won't.
We gotta do some live testing.
No, we won't.
Yeah, we will.
What if I want to play the cow milking game?
You can play it.
I can play it.
But yeah. You crapped all over it, Kevin.
All over.
You don't get to play it.
I don't care. I'll watch. I want to like see the thing for myself.
Maybe. I'll consider it. Valerie, you're in.
Yeah,
I'm tagging you in.
You got so mad at me that you stole the Wii U back.
You can play ARM.
You can play ARM.
I play ARM.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's start winding this episode up.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to kind of hit on something that you and Gary hit on a few weeks back. When you talked about, you know, just the world's a different place than it was a year ago. And it's It's going to keep changing. But I think now more than ever, that provides an opportunity for people to have a bigger and greater potential influence on their communities. Actually, I'm going to do something really cheesy and dumb. Oh, I'm going to read a tweet that I read shortly before we started.
How do I Twitter?
And I think it just...
Maybe just try using it, Valerie.
Yeah, maybe start by using it.
I don't need a tweeter.
So, Donald Miller, he's an author. Mm. He's written...
And a rapper. He goes by Childish Gambino.
So he tweeted this earlier today. And it just says, "We help shape the people around us. We contribute to the depth of our communities." And I really like that because I think people forget a lot that everyone has a sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how high you rank in a social ladder, you have a sphere, you affect people, and that can ripple.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are feeling lots of strong emotions right now for lots of different reasons, lots of very different reasons. And I think most of those reasons are probably valid. Whether or not I agree with those reasons is an entirely different subject, but I think people are feeling valid feelings. But as a result, and I don't blame people for doing this, but people are just reacting. People are just lashing out or just responding without kind of a sense of awareness of what our actions can, the role our actions play in the world. And it's something that I am personally trying to reevaluate and reassess. And Valerie and I, we've talked about is how we can work on the shape we make in our communities. So things we can do, whether they're big or small, that we know are affecting something in the world around us and that are helping achieve the values we believe in, the values we hold important, whatever that means to you. I just think it's, when times are weird, as they are right now, I think it's more important than ever that people understand that you have power in the things that you do. And so if you want something done, there's probably something you personally can do about it right now.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you two had just any thoughts or advice or just kind of just statements of encouragement to people that are just feeling weird, feeling upset, feeling angry, feeling hurt, feeling scared, feeling, I don't know, feeling whatever you're feeling, whether it's a good feeling or a bad feeling. I don't know. It was just something on my mind that I think, because of Top Shelf Gaming, is one of our core values is reaching communities and growing communities and affecting communities through the stuff we care about. I think that encouraging the increase of our communal depth and other fancy words. I don't know. I think it's something that's worth talking about and worth reminding people of. My advice, I guess, would be to remember, and this is for me as much as anybody else, getting angry is really easy. But unless you do something besides be angry, it doesn't really matter. You can be angry all you want, but unless, your anger has to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something with that anger. Otherwise,
You mean violence?
Nope, I wouldn't see. No. I specifically want to avoid this. I mean, I'm not going to tell you whatever it is. That's at some point that's on you to be.
And I think people are really tired of other people telling them
yeah,
what to do or not do, or why they shouldn't or shouldn't be angry, yeah. Which is why this country is in the situation that
there,
it's right now.
There are a lot of people who are far more oppressed than I am. And me telling someone how to respond to their oppression is kind of a terrible thing to do. I can have opinions, but I'm not going to... I am getting weary of telling people how to feel oppressed, I guess.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I think that is comfort. It's comforting to hear you say that. Not you specifically, but just the fact that someone would acknowledge that. In terms of advice, you know, I think, like if people were passively listening right now, like I think that's something that they should rewind and like listen to.
Hit that 15-second rewind button.
Yeah, because I think that's so important. Like we gotta stop telling people how to feel or like how to be, and
or telling people that their feelings aren't valid because. I don't know anything anymore.
I mean, saying get over it doesn't help. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, and also telling people that, I don't know, it's there's a lack of sympathy and empathy, mm-hmm. Just from people in general, and I feel like, so tying this back to video games, mm-hmm. I realize that whenever I play Overwatch, like Overwatch is a team game,
mm-hmm.
and I'm playing with random people every match, like, you know,
yeah,
average of 10, 11 random people,
mm-hmm.
and chances are that there are people on my team or whatever game that disagree with me on issues that I find really important.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know these things about these people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even if I was playing with, like, the person who was my, like, mortal nemesis, like, at least what we have in common is that we're both playing this game and that we're on the same team, and so we need to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's beauty in that, just like knowing that, you know, at the end of the day, no matter what we believe, like, we're still fighting on the same team, at least in this, at least for these 10 minutes. And it's like you take away all of the other stuff, and you have two people who both share this love for this game, and that in itself I feel like is really unifying. And so to latch on to one aspect of someone's beliefs or someone's character and just make that all of who they are, I feel is a disservice not only mm-hmm. to them but also to yourself, who you could be missing out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is related or too tangential, but an epiphany that I've had recently is that every negative and or judgmental thought that, like, you know, those thoughts that come through your head without you actively trying to think them,
yeah,
like the gross ones where you're like, why did I think that,
mm-hmm.
like every one of those thoughts springs from either insecurity about myself or fear, which I guess are related.
Yeah.
They kind of go hand in hand, so it's just like you basically don't have to think those thoughts if you aren't afraid of your position in life,
yeah.
or don't feel insecure. Like, if I'm like, oh, that person's being so, like, that person's being so bigoted right now. Yeah. Or that person, oh, that dude just said something sexist right now. Like, I'm being judgmental regardless of whether or not what that person said is problematic. I'm being judgmental because I myself am worried that I would say something like that, or I regret having said something like that in the past.
Yeah.
So every bad thing I have is a reflection of how bad I feel about myself. And then I was like I had like a brainwave the other day, like, to bring it back to religion. Like, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, if you love yourself and you're not worried about where you stand in life, or you don't feel actively threatened by other people, then you don't need to have any judgment towards other people.
That's such an interesting point. When I think of the things that I subconsciously, like,
mm-hmm.
like judge people for, you're absolutely right. Like, they're all things that I'm insecure about. Like, I'm, you know, trying to get fit,
mm-hmm.
as most people do,
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of
mm-hmm.
of a new year. And like, so when I see someone, as I'm trying to eat
mm-hmm.
healthier, if I see someone
mm-hmm.
eating a really nice big burger. And I'm
yeah.
just like, I'll just like get angry, like, okay,
yeah.
well, that's so unhealthy,
yeah.
but that's just me projecting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was very wise.
And like, I tried to think of a way that didn't apply, but I'm like, no. Like,
yeah.
for everything.
Yeah.
It's all just...
It all just comes
all
back
just
to like,
that.
Our
yeah.
own... Yeah. It's
yeah.
very wise. Very wise,
so
Valerie.
Love yourself so that you can love everyone.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good piece of advice to end on. But I think Marcus may have some final words.
So, we forgot last week. But our big push for 2017 is to get one new iTunes review every week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm gonna read one from this person who commented a couple weeks ago, because we are catching up.
What's their name? What's their username?
EMZ Silver Sound.
Thanks, EMZ Silver Sound.
Might sound familiar, but he says, great commentary from people who know what they're talking about. Especially Valerie. The personalities of each person in the room really shine through, and you get the sense that, more than anything else, these people are having fun. That's what makes this podcast for me. You'll find informed conversation on various video game-related topics, a lot that aren't brought up much as well. It's just a big bonus to listen to people having a good time while doing it. Right. Well, thank you. And please, listeners, follow suit. I know it's always that weird thing of, like, when you listen to podcasts and, like, someone tells you to,
mm-hmm.
like, go do something, you always think that it doesn't apply
mm-hmm.
to you. It always applies.
Yeah, it's like
to
everyone else. Everyone should do that.
Yeah,
but
not
that.
Me.
I've broken through that.
Yeah.
Roman Mars one time had such a earnest plea for funding. Now
yeah.
I donate $4 a month to him every month.
So just pretend Roman Mars is here talking to
listener,
you.
Listener, we are speaking directly to you.
To you.
Switch.
To you.
And yeah, please just leave us a review. You can find us at Twitter. Our podcast is at Trust Circle Cast. Devin's Twitter is?
It's just Devin Valdivia now. I changed it. Devin Valdivia, at Devin Valdivia.
Valerie's is?
Not worth following because I don't tweet.
Not
but you
worth
can follow
following.
My Tumblr.
But if you want to, it's _ Dillo, D-I-L-L-O. If you figure out why it's called _ Dillo, I will figure out some special thing to send you because you're a smart person.
We'll send you a song.
A song.
I will write and send you a song.
Yes. And my Twitter is at Rarevolutionary. Check out the site. We have a lot of new stuff coming up. Some articles, some in-depth articles about the Nintendo Switch and what we think. And also just some other fun pieces. So always check out our site and other stuff. Devin, do you want to finish this thing off?
Sure. We'll be back next week talking more video games. We'll have a standard podcast. I do have something special in mind for sometime soon. I don't know exactly when. For a guest. It's a little different than usual, but still very exciting. I'm very excited for this. It's sort of why I haven't played video games
much. Oh, no.
But in the meantime, go play the Overwatch event, Year of the Rooster. Go get those sweet, sweet skins. And we'll be back next week. Have a good one. Stay human.